scripture for this morning is found in the book of Exodus, chapter 20, verses 1 through 17. And God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other God before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing steadfast love to the thousands of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter or your male servant or your female servant or your livestock or the sojourner who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God has given you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or his male servant, or his female servant, or his ox, or his donkey, or anything that is your neighbor's.
Well, after 10 long weeks, we have finally arrived at the very last of the Ten Commandments. We have studied these because they are powerful truths. They were given originally to the children of Israel as to just simply give them a guide of how to get along with each other, of how to be a nation. They had never been a nation for the last 500 years because they had been in slavery. So God gave the Ten Commandments. They are applicable to us today in a 21st century world because they are eternal. That simply means that they never get out of date. They are a core statement of how we need to have a relationship with God, the first four. The last six tell us how to have a relationship man with man. And that brings us down to the very last one, which is different than all of the others. The others dealt with action. Number 10 deals with attitudes. The others dealt with deeds. Number 10 deals with desires. You shall not covet. That begins within the heart. You know, it's probably the hardest sin to admit. I've been preaching for 51 years. I've heard a lot of confessions. But you know what? I have never had anyone say to me, "Preacher, I'm guilty of covetousness." Because it's difficult for us to recognize, even in our own lives. But covetousness is a serious, serious sin. So what is covetousness? What did the Lord mean when you said, "Thou shalt not covet"? Well, simply it means we are not to have a desire for something that belongs to someone else. Now, if you say, "I wish I had a house and a truck just like that," that's not covetousness. If you were to say, "I wish I had that house and that truck and that car," that is where covetous starts. One man says, "I wish I had that house and that truck," and he had one better and bigger. I think that gets you off the covetous hook. I'm not real sure about that, though, but I think that'll handle it. I think that'll do. But it's desire to want something that someone else has, to deprive someone else of something that belongs to them. Now, the Lord is not trying to tell us here that we are not to have desires. In fact, Paul himself uses this word covet and says that we are to covet the best gifts. So you can covet in a good way. We all covet good health. We covet a good education for our children. We ought to covet kindness. We ought to covet gentleness. The Lord is not saying that we're not to have desires, and even strong desire. He's just telling us we are not to have inordinate desires, the wrong kind of desires. So what does the New Testament say about covetousness? I'd like to ask some of our members to help me with this. Huff will read to us from Luke.
Luke chapter 12, verse 15. "And he said to them, take care and be on your guard against all covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions."
All right. And what about Mark? Alan will read to us from Mark.
"For within, out of the heart of man, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, coveting, wickedness, deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, foolishness. All of these evil things come from within, and they defile a person."
Listen to what Paul says as Doc Pete reads to us from 1 Corinthians.
"Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God."
All right. And listen as Matt reads to us from Ephesians.
"For you may be sure of this, that everyone who is sexually immoral or impure or who is covetous, that is an idolater, has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God."
Man, these passages of Scripture list covetousness with some pretty bad stuff, doesn't it? There are at least two things that we learn from those passages of Scripture. Number one, we learn that covetousness is idolatry. Now, a man may not fall down and worship a graven image and yet still be an idolater. And the covetous man is called an idolater because of the God that he worships. This inordinate desire causes him to put things or people or desires above God himself. And so the scriptures say that a covetous man is an idolater. Another thing we learn from these passages of scripture is we learn that a covetous man, watch this now, will not go to heaven. Now the reason for that is this. Because in his coveting, in his desires, it is centered in the things of this world. This is where his God lives, in this world. And Jesus points out that why would you desire so the things of this world to the exclusion of God? Because if you gain the whole world and lose your soul, it profits you a naked nothing. If you gain the whole world, if you were king of the world, if you were queen so that every living soul would do all of your bidding, any of your bidding, if you had all the gold and all the silver and all the jewels that this world has to offer, and you lose your soul, it profits you a naked nothing. And so then we ask ourselves the question today. What about this thing called covetousness? One of the things about covetousness is how that it opens the door to so many other things. Listen as Paul in 1 Timothy chapter 6 tells us about coveting riches, coveting money, loving money more than we should. He tells us, but those who would desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root to all evil. It opens the door to so many kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. One of the things that makes covetousness so dangerous is because it opens so many doors, as Paul says, to all kinds of evil. So what are the marks of a covetous man? Well, one is that his thoughts are wholly taken up in this world. A man has made this world and the things of it his God. We see that ever so much in our world today. Because there is so much pressure that's placed on all of us to be like this world. We hold these demagogues up as examples of beauty or power or strength or accomplishments. And we're getting into our kids' heads. If you're not like this movie star, if you're not like this great athlete, if you're not like this great orator, then you're not anything. And it's destroying our children. God made us, everyone, special. We're everyone special to God. We may never be a great athlete. We may never be a beauty queen. But one thing we can be is a Christian. Please my Father has nothing else that we might accomplish. This world is not our home, people. We're just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door. And I can't feel at home in this world anymore. People, we have got to get our hearts out of this world. Again, Jesus, Matthew 16 and verse 26. For what will a man profit if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? Another mark of covetousness is when a man is willing to exchange his soul for these material things. Listen as Jesus tells us about a young man in Mark chapter 10, beginning with verse 17. And as he was setting out on a journey, a man ran up to him and knelt before him and began asking him, "Good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments: do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not bear false witness, do not defraud, honor your father and mother." And he said to him, "Teacher, I've kept these from my youth until now." And he looked on him, and Jesus felt a special love for him. And he said to him, "Watch it now. One thing you lack." Jesus is looking into the heart pretty deep. "One thing you lack. Go and sell all you possess and give it to the poor, and you shall have treasures in heaven. And come and follow me." But at these words, his face fell, and he went away grieved, for he was one who owned much property. We know this story as the story of the rich young ruler, we call him. And he had so much going for him. He had so much going for him. He was eager. He ran to Jesus. He was humble. He kneeled before the Master. He had discernment. He knew that it was Jesus that had the answer to his question. He was spiritual. He had kept the commandments from his youth up. And he knew that there was something that he needed. And he asked, "What must I do to have the kingdom of heaven?" And yet in all of this, one big flaw, he was covetous. No, you don't have to sell everything you have in order to be a Christian. That's not something that the Lord tells us. He tells us that we have to believe His truth. We have to repent of our sin. We have to confess that He is the Christ. We have to be baptized for the remission of our sins. But He doesn't say you have to go and sell everything you have. Why did He tell this young man that? Because He knew that he would never, ever be able to follow Him with a covetous heart. And then there was this man. In Luke chapter 12, verses 15 through 21, here's another who was willing to exchange his soul for material things. And he said to them, Jesus speaking, "Beware and be on your guard against every form of covetousness. For not even when one has an abundance does his life consist of his possessions." And he told them this parable. There was the land of a certain rich man that was very productive. And he began to reason within himself, saying, "What shall I do with all of this, since I have no place to store it?" And he said, "This is what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns and I'll build bigger barns. And there will I store all of my grain and all of my goods. And I'll say to my soul, 'Soul, you have so much laid up for many years. Eat, drink, and be merry.'" And then Jesus says, "But God said to him, 'You're a fool. You're a fool. This very night your soul is required of you, and whose will all of this be that you prepared? So is the man who lays up treasures for himself and is not rich toward God." Covetousness will eat away at your soul and cause you to lose it. And then finally this morning, another mark of a covetous man is that he often has his heart so set on the world that he'll do anything in the world he has to do to get it. I think about Ahab. Ahab was a king. And Ahab had so many vineyards. But one day he was out riding around and Ahab saw this beautiful vineyard. And it belonged to a man by the name of Naboth. And the king wanted that vineyard. So much so that he offered Naboth a ridiculous price for it. But Naboth didn't want to sell it. And again he went and tried to buy the vineyard, and Naboth didn't want to sell it. I don't know whether it had been in his family all these years or he put so much work in. He just didn't want to sell it. So Ahab goes and he goes to his bedroom and he has the biggest pity party you have ever seen. He was crying, man. And his wife comes in and she says, "Now, sweet Nay, why are you crying? Why are you so sad?" And he said, "Well, because I wanted Naboth's vineyard and he won't sell it to me for nothing." And she says, "Don't you worry. I'll get it for you." You remember what her name was? Jezebel. Oh, Jezebel. Now, to get it, she's going to have Naboth killed. And that's exactly what she does. Covetous man sets his heart on something. He'll do anything in the world to get it. I think about another sad story of one who was covetous. He was a man after God's own heart. His name was David. And David coveted his neighbor's wife, one of his soldiers. So much so that David, with all of his wives, had to have that one. And you know the rest of that story. Sordid, twisted. It's not a pretty story. He has to have Bathsheba. He commits adultery. She's with child. Her husband's not there, so everybody's going to know. David tries to cover it up by bringing her husband back from the war. That doesn't go well, so he basically has him killed. And this fine man, this good man, this God man, allows covetousness to creep in and eat away at him until he has to have her. And he just will do anything to get her. Covetousness, people, is a serious, serious thing. Remember those two things we learned? It's just like idolatry. And what else? Cannot go to heaven and be a covetous man or woman. Now, we did say there was some good coveting. So this morning, I'm asking you to covet the salvation that my God offers you through His blessed Son, Jesus. Can we help you to become a child of God by baptizing you this very day into Jesus and into His blood and into His wonderful and precious promises? Can we help you to live that life as a Christian so that heaven can be your home? Will you come while together we stand and sing?
Hallelujah, praise Jehovah from the heavens, praise His name. Praise Jehovah in the highest, all His angels.